Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Andrew P. Shea. Andy, how we doing this week, bud?
Doing good, Jimmy. How are you guys?
I'm doing well. And you kind of let the hint in there, Andy, when you said, how are you guys doing?
Figured I'd let the cat out of the bag.
You did right away, Andy. But let's start it with this, though. Andy, we've been doing this show together for God knows how many years. What is your favorite segment, Andy?
And particularly in the off season, I like our Ask Andy segment, quarter three. I like when we get questions that are, well, first of all, it's not you speaking, and I don't have to listen and sort of take stuff from you. But I like those off-season particularly because they cover a wide berth. In-season, they're a little more predictable and a little easier, but during the off-season, you have no idea what you're going to get, so it's like a box of chocolates, like Forrest Gump told us. So that's why I like it during the off season, you know, from like generally from like March. I think by the, you know, with as late as college football runs now, by March, everyone sort of got all of that out of their system. And then they're like, okay, so now it's like from March till like August, it's like potpourri questions and they're my favorite. So that's my favorite segment during the off season.
And so, since it's your favorite segment, when you don't have to listen to my questions, Andy, you came up with this suggestion. I can't even say I'm doing this for you. You came up with the idea. You said, hey, Jim, why don't we have a couple of our listeners actually on the show with us?
Right.
And allow them to run the show, allow them to ask the questions. It's just another way for you to tell me you don't want to hear my questions, Andy. So we have with us, it's really a lot of excitement. We have a couple guests. We have a couple of our listeners on with us. First of all, the famous Steve from Columbia. Steve, how are you doing, bud?
I am very well. Thank you. I'm pleased by the invitation. I'm surprised Andy would offer it to me. After a couple of times, he said, here's a question from Steve Columbia. And one time he goes, oh, gosh.
well, the I'm truth good. Is I was the one who extended the invitation. And I didn't tell Andy it was you coming in.
Oh, okay.
So people know you from asking the question, Steve from Columbia. Steve, before we get started with our routine with the questions, why don't you just real quick give us your background, how you became a Penn State fan. Just a quick background.
Yeah, well, I lived my entire life. I'm 61, and I lived my entire life in Lancaster and York counties. And I had several cousins, actually, who graduated from Penn State in the late 70s, early 80s. My daughter graduated from there in 2016. And it's almost by osmosis. You almost have to be a Penn State fan. You get, who else am I going to be with? Pitt or, you know, God forbid, Notre Dame? I choose that. So I would have to be Penn State. And here we are.
Steve's making fun of my pronunciation of Notre Dame.
No, I say that that way as well. So
we got Steve from Columbia. We also have Dwayne from the Berwick-Bloomsburg area. Not only that, but people may have heard me refer to him before. Actually, my college roommate also. Hey, Dwayne, how you doing?
Jimmy, I'm well, and thank you so much for this opportunity to join you guys tonight. As Jim mentioned, I also have a degree from Penn State. I'm a nuclear engineer. I also went to Duke University for my MBA. I have football season tickets now for the last 46 years. Also season tickets for wrestling and ice hockey, and I'm very excited for all three teams for next year's season. But as Jimmy mentioned, my claim to fame is I was his roommate. So any dirt you need about Jim and his college days, I'm the guy.
And it goes back even further than college. Dwayne and I went to rival schools. I was a Berwick Bulldog. He was a Central Columbia Blue Jay. And we didn't get along, those schools, did we, Dwayne?
You and I got along. Our teams had a problem with it, though.
that's true. That is true. We go. All right. So that's all the prelude there. We said this was going to be an Ask Andy segment. So it's time for us, Andy, to hand things over to these guys to ask the question. We'll go back and forth with it. Steve, you get to ask the first question of Andy.
Oh, I have to ask the question. I assumed you were going to read it, but whatever. So,
no,
okay,
no, first, we got you here. You got to do it.
No, it's Steve. Coming from
oh
you, Steve.
Oh, my gosh.
I want to hear it from the horse's mouth. Fire away. Let's go.
Which end of the horse, by the way?
I didn't say any. I just said the horse. I just said the horse.
So, okay. Well, I will say my question was Penn State basically has a bye till they play Oregon. I mean, they have a cakewalk.
It's embarrassing.
To drop a little Philly
on you, it's borderline. And plus, they have a bye. Don't forget that, too. So it's
– Yes.
It is a month.
So the season starts September 27th. So, okay, what's the prediction? Penn State, Oregon. I think we smoke them. I think we take them behind the woodshed.
So there was one thing, and I brought this up in the show last week, Steve. I think the 3 weeks, you look at those first three games and you're like, yes, are they embarrassing? Yes, they will continue to be. Penn State will be heavily favored. Heck, I don't even know if two of those games will be on the board, right, to wager on. But having said that, you always try and look for a benefit from this. And I've almost avoided talking about it. The wide receiver position, you might learn a wee little bit, but that frightens me because it's anything that you might learn can go right out the window so fast. But I really do think the first three games for me are all about the defense. This is where Jim, as a new defensive coordinator, gets to work on some things and gets to use a good number of players. He has some star power, right? He has it at each level. He has it sort of across the field. He's got a little middle, a little outside. He's got, you know, NFL talent at the corner. He's got NFL talent at safety, et cetera. But he does not have a rotation of defensive tackle, right? After Zane Durant, it is unknown, right, more than anything else. So I think the first three games, and for Penn State fans, are about the offense is still going to be powerful because those running backs are stupid good, and the offensive line is just going to move guys out of the way with relative ease. The offense will still function well. I think you can learn and watch and look at the real work and the heavy lifting of those three games, not the scoreboard, not the result, not how the offense plays. Look at how the defensive line plays, particularly watch the interior of the defensive line. Look at the rotation at right defensive end. Who's healthy? Who can play, you know, 50 snaps at the other defensive end because of the injuries and the guys that they're going to have there? But for me, the center point of the first three games comes down to figuring out who their four or five deep are. In other words, the three or four other players beyond Zane Durant who they can count on once they get to Oregon. So that's what I think the big benefit of what is just simply an embarrassing schedule. I think there is a small hidden gem, and it will allow Jim and the experience that he has to know and see. The competition is irrelevant. Jim's almost going to be watching those games strictly from a one-sided viewpoint in terms of what can I think about doing and what can I not think about doing. And it's more about what can I not do and what don't I have that I would like to have and what actually, you know, do I have. But I really feel strongly that the interior of the defensive line needs those three games if Penn State's going to go. Yeah. So your question was, Steve, are they going to blow out Oregon? I think they could. It's going to be a different environment. It's going to be a different game. Heck, the Big Ten Championship game was a fantastic football game last year, right? It was back and forth. It was probably Drew Aller's best performance on a bigger stage last year was the Big Ten championship game. He wasn't part of the problem. So I expect another good football game. I just don't think Oregon's going to have the horsepower to keep up over 60 minutes in a whiteout environment. That'll be it.
But Steve, you were going to say you think the Penn State's going to smoke them.
I do, and this is why. Andy, have a little faith. There's magic in the whiteout night.
No, Andy, I do. Andy,
you ain't a beauty, but hey, you're all right.
Right? Yes. Oh, that's it's.
I asked that question to set that line up. I don't. I mean, who knows?
Correct.
But I do agree.
It is simply the great one of the greatest showcase events in college football. A Penn State home game on a whiteout is simply one. It doesn't matter. It's been Minnesota was one. Iowa's been in that, has been part of that ring. Obviously, Ohio State and Michigan games have been part of that. It's almost irrelevant, the opponent, but this one's going to be a biggie because it's going to be the University of Oregon, the defending Big Ten champions. So that's when, but I think you will have learned plenty about the defense. I'm scared to death to say anything about the offense.
Okay. I'll tell you what. Look, Dwayne, you get your input.
Well, I just, my first question, I'd just like to build upon that from Steve's question, how Andy answered that. Andy, what do you believe the biggest changes that we can expect from a Jim Knowles defense as compared to the defenses we've had in the past? What do you see them doing differently?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I know Jim likes to bring – so Penn State brought pressure from the outside that was situational, right? They sort of – under Tom last year, they were more of an inside-out defense, right? They had the studs on the end – that they were just ridiculous athletes, and they still have some of that. But he likes to bring a lot of edge pressure. He likes to collapse it from the outside and force you inside of a pocket. Look how he coordinated games against Penn State and forced everything inside. That's what you're going to see from him, is a little bit of not the Manny Diaz mad scientist who's a genius at his job. His will be more in a process and a scheme. Manny's was just taking crazy athletes and doing crazy stuff. So I think what you'll see is more of an outside-in defense where they're trying to shove everything closer to the middle of the field by using their outside guys.
Nice.
I'll tell you what, we're approaching the end of segment one. And Andy, I haven't even put my two cents in.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I will when we get back after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Andy Shea. He's Steve from Columbia. He's Dwayne from the Berwick-Bloomsburg area. We are doing a special edition of our show. We're doing an entire Ask Andy segment. And the problem we had in segment number one, Andy, I didn't get to put my two cents in.
All those in favor of saying that that is not a problem signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Yes. So,
it's still my show, and I still have the mute button for every one of you. I want to remind you of that. A couple quick notes.
I abstain. How about that?
I saw your hand up, Steve. Don't try to get away with it. Don't try to play both ends. But real quick, Andy, you talked about those first three games, what the keys were, what to look for. Those three games are about tailgating. That is about it.
Nice.
I tailgated with Dwayne. He knows that's the way it works. The Oregon game, I'm with you, Steve. I do think Penn State will smoke them because I think Penn State is really looking to that game. It's the whiteout. And as I said, James Franklin, I'm even wearing my 1-0 t-shirt. Forget that. We're only thinking about Nevada. Ain't the case. They are prepping for Oregon right now as we speak, guys. You know that they are. James Franklin will never admit it, but that's what was going on. And I stopped you a little bit early there, Andy. You were saying as we ended segment one.
Yeah, I was talking about how Dwayne asked about how we can expect it to be different in a Jim Knowles offense, right? Like you've got to deny Dennis Sutton. He's a monster in the waiting. You've got Zane Durant in the middle, so you've got some base. But the way Jim operates his defense best, it's when he's bringing layers of pressure from the outside. This is where I think we're going to learn more about Zariah Fisher, who I am big on in the sample on the body of work that we have. I know he's been ravaged by injuries, right? Is Anai White going to be part of that rotation? Both those guys are complete injury question marks, and they've shown enough to show that their talent has been realized. It just hasn't been fulfilled because they keep getting injured. But this is where you're going to see Dom DeLuca coming from the outside. You're going to see that third safety, because they're going to run a 4-2-5. You're going to see the third safety. You're going to even see A.J. Harris coming off the edge, right? Like, that guy is a willing combatant for contact, right, when as a cornerback. You know, I think Dom DeLuca made his initial wave as a sort of specialist outside pressure building linebacker. They're gonna do it in many different ways, but it'll come from the outside to force everything back to the inside. Hence the reason he will clog the backfield with five defensive backs.
Real quick on the note about Anai White and Zariah Fisher. My understanding is right now they're both a full go, Andy.
Correct.
Which doesn't mean they won't get hurt later, but they're a full go right now. I'll tell you what, Dwayne, we'll let you go first with the next question in this segment.
Great. Well, we just talked about the defense. Let's switch over to the offense. So last year, Andy Kotelnicki incorporated many gimmick plays, which primarily featured our multi-talented tight end Tyler Warren. With Tyler's departure, can we expect a similar number of gimmick plays, or do you think we're going to back off on those a bit?
No, I think they're just part of his DNA, Dwayne. He's several years back when James first got Manny Diaz, and I watch way too much college football and follow it way too closely. I freely admit that, and it's not embarrassing. As soon as he got his hands on Manny Diaz, which was a shock to me because I didn't think Manny was going to come back and coach right away. I thought he was going to wait, but he came back right away. I said to Jimmy, I'm like, this guy's so good at his job as a defensive coordinator. He's a mad scientist. Your Penn State fans are going to love this guy because he's so good at his job. And Andy's sort of specialty is, the crazy part is, Dwayne, it's a lot of eye candy. I don't know that it's a lot of gimmicky, quote unquote gimmicky per se. It's more like eye candy to get the defense's eyes moving. Basically, what he does is he uses a ton of different layers with Tyler Warren, Vega Ioane, two tight ends. One is an H-back. One will split out. One will line up as an H-back. He'll put somebody in motion. He'll shift two to one side to the other. He'll have a running back start. They'll start with two running backs. He's doing a lot of eye candy to take the attention of the defense away from their discipline, you know, eye discipline. He's very good at it. So I expect to continue. I expect to even see more of it because I think he's got at least two and maybe three tight ends that he can employ in that. You've got to get more of both these running backs on the football field, right? Like he's very good at rotating and using both of them, but you can do more because they're good enough to do more. So I think you're going to even see more involvement in that kind of stuff from the running back, which when if you go back and look at him at Kansas and at Buffalo when he was a coordinator, the running backs were his main eye candy strength. He had to use them last year, and he went with more of a offensive lineman, Tyler Warren, and the tight ends at it. Now that both these running backs need to be on the field more, and no one's going to really say that, well, you have to use both running backs. No, they both pretty much need to be on the field 60, 70% of the time because they're that freaking good, and they're that versatile, and they're that reliable. So I think you're going to see a lot of running back craziness out of him. I don't think you're going to see a tight end throwing left-handed passes. Please, no more of those. But I do think, I mean, with Dinkins and Luke Reynolds, look at Luke Reynolds in the fake punt. You've got a lot of versatility. I think Khalil Dinkins is vastly underrated. So I think they're going to use the tight ends and the running backs, and they're just going to move it around. And if they don't put Vega Ioane out wide and have him run back in and cream somebody, I think Jim will openly weep.
You know, just a couple quick notes. Joey Schlaffer played quarterback in high school. I tossed the picks in around with him a little bit. He threw a nice tight spiral. Just saying, guys. And you're right. I'm waiting for when they throw the ball to Vega Ioane. He's been open a few times. All right. Let's move on. It's your turn, Steve, for the next question.
Next question. All right. Let me pull it up here. So, okay. I have three, but I'll go with this one because Andy, and again, my questions are sometimes off the wall, as everybody knows. It's not too bad. So you guys are golfers. Dwayne, I don't know if you're a golfer as well.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We're golfing, and you have a foursome, and your three of them drop out. You can pick any three people off the current Penn State football program to fill out your foursome. Who are they? I'll let you guys go.
Are they players or coaches?
Anybody in the program. So I'll give you my answer real quick so you guys can go off.
Okay.
James Franklin, of course.
Right.
Does James Franklin play golf?
He does not.
I don't know.
James does not.
Well, then he can ride around the cart and just talk to us or whatever. he is a very engaging, personable individual. My second would be any offensive lineman, because they always seem very gregarious, outgoing, fun-loving guys. You have to be to smash your head into people for 3.5 hours, you know, 14, 15 days a week. My third would be, and this is semi-joke, but I am serious about this. Whoever is the Nittany Lion mascot, the dude or whoever in there. I mean,
the guy who's been
is that the same person? I mean, I would love to. I mean, how do you get to be that? And it has to be exhausting. I mean,
it's
so they're my three. So yield the floor.
Mine would be, I would start with Pat Kraft. I would love to play golf with Pat Kraft, and I want him to be in my cart. I want to pick his brain and talk to him, because subtly, I think he has played a huge role in putting Penn State in the position they're in right now, which is the perceived nationally all-in club going for a national championship. And he's helped and assisted James and the coaching staff and those around him to build it. So, and he hasn't done it with a lot of fanfare and a lot of out front. He's done it very smartly, subtly, and quietly. So I love people like that. So plus he's a football guy and he's from Boston. So I would love to have a few transfusions, play a little golf, and talk to Pat Kraft. I would take Nick Dawkins at center. I just am a big fan of Nick Dawkins. And the other one I would like to put in my group, only because I would like to pick his brain on the devil of the details and what some of the things he's done to at his craft to get to the level that he's at. There are very few football players in my 30 plus years, you know, watching, covering, and being a sports writer around football. There are very few that have achieved more with less than Dom DeLuca. And that kid, if you look at his measurable football skills, right? There's some, but not a lot. Not at the elite level that he performs at. He has become a master at his craft. And I would love to pick his brain and know, like, level by level, how he built that and became the player that he is today. Because I also saw him play high school football. Good high school football player, right? Like, good high school football. Never did you, would you imagine him being in this type of position and molding himself into this kind of player. So that's mine.
And just real quick note on Dom DeLuca and his high school career. He was a really good player in high school.
He was a really good football
player. He also ripped up his knee.
Correct.
And, you know, had to recover from that. And I think he's actually a better athlete than he's given credit for. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes that there's a stigma that comes with a walk-on, you know. He earned the scholarship, but I think he is more athletic than he's given credit for. And I think in that SMU game, when you saw him with the interceptions, you saw some of that athleticism that I don't think he's given enough credit for. All right. Andy, how are we doing here on number of questions per segment? That's about how many we normally do on the show. We are up against the break here. When we come back, yeah, I'm going to let Dwayne put in his two cents on who he would want to be golfing with off the Penn State program. We'll do that when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim. He's Andy. He's Steve. He's Dwayne. It's a full house here today. We're in quarter number three of our show, and we finished up quarter number two with Steve's question about who we would want to golf with. And I'm going to let Dwayne answer the question also. But real quick first, Steve, you mentioned the offensive lineman. I'm with you. I would like to play with the offensive lineman. Just golf has become very big among the players and very competitive. But I do think, to your point, Steve, the offensive lineman, the one that I know, I think they're there to have fun more than anything else. I would like to go that route. How about you, Dwayne? Who are you picking as part of your force?
It really isn't a tough question, Jim, at all, because, you know, all I can envision is one of those guys hitting a great shot and them doing their typical, like, end zone celebrations that I can't match. So I'm going with the Lionettes. I want them as my foursome. I don't even care if they can swing a club right now, but if they're going to do dances, it's going to be them.
That is called thinking outside the box.
That is way outside the box.
But we'll take it. Good thing. You know what, guys? That's what Dwayne's a nuclear engineer. He's a smart guy.
That's how
he's able to come up with that kind of response. All right, it's your turn, Dwayne. This time, it's your question for Ask Andy. Go for it.
I don't know if I can top that last one, though. But with the return of so many skilled players, our expectations are extremely high for this year's team. So what's the minimum accomplishment this team needs to accomplish to consider the season a success? So I'll give you some examples.
Yep.
Beating Ohio State, winning the Big Ten, making the 12-team playoff, making Final Four, winning a national championship. So what's the minimum they need to be able to look back and say, this season was a success?
Yeah, I think there's layers to it that you start with, Dwayne, and I think it's winning one of the two marquee games, right? I think you have to start – they either have to beat Oregon or Ohio State. Win one of those two football games because that's outside the norm, right, of – sort of you guys is, you know, the Penn State fans are like, well, it's Ohio State. Pencil that in as an L. And, you know, can they win one of those games? I don't think they have to win both of them. I think you have to win. I think if you can win one of them, your path to competing for the Big Ten championship opens up. I thought last year, the standard was getting to the 12-team playoff, right? Because Oregon and Ohio State were simply, they were better roster football teams than Penn State going into the year. I think Penn State overperformed a little bit and got itself into the Big Ten championship game. And then they went on a run. They had some help with the schedule. But I think layer one is winning one of those two. I think they have to win the Big Ten championship for overall success. No matter what happens in the college football playoff, you know, I know Jimmy's got his 1976 AMC Matador station wagon tied to the national championship or bust bandwagon. But I'm not necessarily thinking that that's a realistic measuring stick, but I think you win one of those two games and you win the Big Ten championship. That is an elevation, and let the chips fall where they may in the 12-team playoff, right? You're going to get yourself in a good position when that happens. But I think those are the two measurables over the first, you know, over the first 12 games that I think are measuring sticks that you can determine success or not success.
Andy, I don't think it's national championship or bust. I agree. I think they have to win one of those two games, and I think it's Oregon. Okay, I'm again back with Steve. I think it's a 4.5-point spread. I don't know how it'll end up. I am betting that game. I think they're pointing towards it. I think that win that game. The playoffs, I think they got to do a little better than just making the playoffs. Dwayne, you asked the question. How about you? What would you consider a successful season?
I'd like Andy's answer. And it's not, I don't believe they have to win a national title to consider the season a success. Obviously, they need to make the playoffs. If they don't make the playoffs, I think that would be a huge bust for us.
That'd be a massive letdown.
Right. But I think similar to last year, just winning a couple of games and being competitive.
Yeah, I think they have to win one. I think the lowest common denominator is for me. Come on, it's not often you can say this. If you go let's go 1 through 30, right, on the roster, Penn State has a better 1 through 30 roster than Ohio State right now. They simply do. They just have a better football roster. So that's why I don't think winning the Big Ten championship is the lowest common denominator. And I think the first step to that is they've got to win one of those two big games, and that will come back to your quarterback. That quarterback performing in big games will matter.
And Andy, you and I have talked about this. I think Drew Aller and James Franklin are tied into this, the narrative. Can't perform, can't win the big game. And they don't consider SMU and Boise State a big game, a name game.
Correct.
That's why Oregon, Ohio State, and if they get into the playoffs, I think they have to win at least one game there against someone with some name value, you know, right, a Southeast Conference team or a Clemson, someone like that. All right, Steve, you're up. Next question.
All right, Steve from Columbia, I'm excited. How about
next
that?
Question. Okay, again, I go off the rails a little bit.
I'm good.
Have you ever watched any sporting event, generally Penn State, or for that matter, any game in any sport, where you have damaged property in your home as being so upset? And again, I will answer my own question first. I originally said no, I haven't, but I will. I have to retract that a little bit. I'll be very quick. Andy, you'll appreciate this. It was mid-90s. It was a Penn State blue-white game, and the Flyers are playing their nemesis, the Devils, in a conference playoff game, maybe the conference finals. I believe the goalie's Hextall went in a terrible goal, and we had an oval braided rug. I kicked the rug and blew open a few seams. I don't really consider that property damage, but we can discuss that some other time. But there that's my question. I mean, nobody took a gun out and shot a television or whatever, but
never broken a television, never done inside property damage. There are several holes in the drywall in the garage. I'm just being honest. You know, you asked the question. There are several holes in the garage, and two of them are Philadelphia Flyers related, and the third one is I'm a Buccaneers fan, and they are part of the Jameis 30 for 30. So as a Buccaneers fan, I live that. So one of them is that. And there used to be, I finally repainted it. There was a scratch from my wedding ring that was a celebration of the Boston series when they came back from 3-0 down to beat Boston in game 7, of a celebration of a goal across the ceiling in my family room, because I was so excited that I got up and my ring scraped across the top of the ceiling.
Well, I'll give you my quick one here, Steve. And Dwayne, a fellow Met fan, could appreciate this. Through the 80s, I lived in Philadelphia. 1986, Mets World Series, Game 6. It's coming down, ninth inning. Mets are getting beat. They're down to their last out. And just by coincidence, I was having a party at my house in Philadelphia. Every one of my guests was a Phillies fan, which meant they hated the Mets. And these people were drinking my beer, eating my food, and rooting against my team. And the girl I was dating at the time, she comes up to me and she's like, "Behave yourself. This is a party. Just behave. Just get away from me if you know what's good for you. Just get away from me. Don't talk to me." And these guys were all going crazy. Dwayne will understand what happened after that. That's the ball that went through Bill Buckner's leg.
Bill Buckner, yes.
I almost hit the ceiling jumping up and down. The rest of the room went completely quiet, okay? But Jim was celebrating that. How about you, Dwayne? Do you have your take on
have you done
any damage?
No, maybe internally, but not external, anything to the house. But I might have some blood vessels maybe, but that's all.
All right, Steve, you said you had...
My only comment was, so this was pre-iPad, pre-iPhone, split screen, double TV, you know. So I was watching the blue-white game at my neighbor's, two houses down, and my house, whatever. So I got a good workout that day. I was sprinting back and forth between watching the blue-white game and watching the Flyers. So I burned off some calories while I was consuming many other calories that will just be left unknown. So, but I'm not too hard to figure out.
Adult sodas.
Yes. And
Daddy
wings
soda.
And pizza in there. Yes.
We don't have to worry about that being a problem going forward, since we're not going to get the blue-white game televised anymore, Steve.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not really. Yeah, it's a practice. So.
Well, it was interesting. You sent me copies of your question, Steve, and you brought up what was maybe the one game also Penn State football, 1994, down 21-0 against Illinois. And you put that out there. I remember, fortunately, I was watching that game alone, just pacing, watching the game. But I'll tell you guys a quick story about it because you brought it up. We had Kyle Brady on the show several years ago. I don't know if you remember this, Andy. And I made sure we asked him about that specific game and that last drive where they went the length of the field. One of my favorite quotes was, he said, "All I got to tell you guys is when we got walked onto the field, you could look around in the eyes of every player on our offense. We knew we were going to score."
Yeah.
But even more so, we looked across the line of scrimmage.
They knew.
Looked
Illinois
in the
knew
eyes of the Illinois
yep.
defense. They knew it too.
Yeah.
And which I thought was one of the greatest Penn State quotes I've ever heard. He tried to back it up a little bit. He says, "Well, maybe that's just the way I remember it, the way I saw it. Maybe they didn't feel that way." But I feel like the way that game was going, yes, if you were a Penn State fan, that last possession, you were very confident that this team was going to march the length of the field and keep up the undefeated season. All right, guys, that is it for quarter number three. We've got one more segment to go. So I hope you each have a great question for quarter number four. Stick around for that.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim. He's Andy. He's Dwayne. He's Steve. If you weren't here with us earlier, where have you been? Been a great show. We decided, and this was Andy's idea, we decided to do an entire show of Ask Andy, and it wasn't good enough to just have our listeners sending in questions. We have a couple listeners with us, the aforementioned Steve and Dwayne. They've been fantastic so far with their questions. I'm sure Andy is much happier answering your questions than mine, right, Andy?
He is. Yep, he is.
Oh, okay. Just wanted to confirm. Next up with a question, it's Dwayne. Go ahead.
Okay, Andy, a Joe Paterno question.
Ooh, okay.
Which of the following would Paterno have the most difficulty accepting, knowing that he would absolutely hate all three of these things?
Yes, he would hate them all.
NIL, transfer portal, or end zone celebrations?
He would have the least problem with NIL because he was always – a proponent of pay for play, some kind of money. He was always in the player's corner. He was an outspoken player. So I think he would have the least trouble with NIL. the transfer portal, for lack of a better term, he wouldn't give a you know what about it. He would hand that off to somebody else. End zone celebrations. He would have a problem with it being inherently, he would have a problem with how it is. I kind of like it as part of the game. I mean, I'm 60 something, I'm old. But I don't mind it. But I just think that would, if I was to land on, that's a really good question. I would say you'd have the most problem with end zone celebrations. The transfer portal would drive him crazy, so he would make somebody else responsible and accountable to him for that, because he'd just be like, I don't understand that. I'm just going to get off it. Give me another wild turkey. And he would be a big proponent and continue to be an advocate on the NIL front. Not necessarily – he wouldn't like the sort of Wild West process, that it has been the first 3 or 4 years. That would have drove him back crazy, but – he still, at its core, he would have been a fan of players getting paid.
First of all, I'm with you, Andy, about the NIL. I think Joe was a lot more forward-thinking than he's given credit for. I think we all think so conservative. Remember, he's the guy who 50, 60 years ago was already pushing for a playoff, okay? He also was the one pushing for the All-Eastern Conference, which
miles ahead of his time.
He was. And the point I'd like to make, though, and I'd like to hear what you guys think about this, with the transfer portal, I think he would be happy with it in principle that the players have some of this freedom. But I think where he would have a problem is with the kids going to the highest bidder and making that the most important criteria in making their decisions, as opposed to kids understanding there's a lot more to this. You got a long life to live after college. Even if you do make the NFL, which odds are you won't, but even if you do, you still have a long life to go. And that's one of the things where I'm not sure James Franklin is given enough credit, because he does emphasize those things. He emphasizes things off the field, and I'm not sure he gets enough credit for it. But I think his values align very much with Joe's on that, Andy.
So what I'll say is, if you want to see, if you can imagine if Joe was around in this era and was coaching, all you have to do is see Nick Saban, right? It would look identical. It would be, it would end up frustrating him to the point where he would have maybe saw himself clear to walk away. That it would have, they were, they're two creatures from the same, they sort of, and I don't mean this in a bad way, they're two creatures that crawled out from under the exact same coaching rock, right? They're very, very similar. Their methodology is different, but their core values and their principles are similar. And it would have, in the end, for Joe, it would have looked very similar to Nick Saban, I think.
I'd like to just ask, not so much from the Joe angle, but I'd like to ask our guests, Steve and Dwayne. I'll start with you, Steve. NIL,
hold on, Jimmy. Are you asking questions now?
I am asking questions.
Okay. I just want to check.
Not to you, okay?
All right.
To our guests. But, you know, this whole conversation about NIL and the portal, I kind of wanted to see, you hear so much hyperbole. Oh, I'm never going to watch college football again. It's the same as pro football, this, that. How about you? Let's start with you, Steve. Does any of that upset you? The whole NIL, transfer portal, those kind of things that are going on?
Yes.
Okay.
Next question. I mean, I think, as so many things are, it was well intended and needed to be rectified. I agree with all that. But again, just unintended consequences and where this is gone.
Yeah.
And the NCAA is feckless and basically worthless. Worthless, feckless, toothless.
Powerless.
Whatever. Powerless. Yeah. Let's keep going down the line of adjectives. I mean, they're just. I mean, I get it. I understand it. And NIL was for to be Michael Vick and Vince Young, who were people were making millions of dollars off of their names when they were not some 10th, 11th grader in Edison, New Jersey. And we're going to give him $2 million that nobody would know him if he fell off the turnip truck. I mean, so it's going to a place that you know, I don't know how you fix it. I mean, I hate to say this. I can't believe I'm going to say this. Congress needs to get involved, which, I mean, that is not who I am. But, I mean, it is a mess. But I think it was well-intended. But where we've gone is just a mess.
How about you, Dwayne, when you see some of this stuff going on? What part of it upsets you, if any of it?
Well, I think fans value loyalty. And, the fact that you see players, jumping to other teams, you feel like, there's a loss of loyalty. You know, for example, again, I'm an ice hockey fan, too. And your starting goalie from last year is all of a sudden in goal in Minnesota. You know, it makes it tough. We were a big fan of his. Supporting him, and all of a sudden he's the guy you're trying to get a puck past, so I get the money part though also. However, loyalty in college sports, I think is a big factor.
Well, I'll give this is not me, blowing smoke up James Franklin's skirt, but I think this is something where in comparison, if you look at Penn State's program, and the mostly is loyalty, very much so compared to other programs.
It's part of his brand. It is it is a huge part of his brand that he sells as the university.
He brings guys in who want more than just the highest payday. And it could affect them where, there's a bidding war for a five-star guy coming out of high school. They're not going to win that bidding necessarily, but they explain other things to players and what you can get as a Penn Stater beyond just the money. You'll still get paid, but it's paid part of the loyalty, and you see very few guys leaving the program, you see very few guys coming in. And I think that's worth mentioning, Andy.
So James is a unicorn in this modern era a little bit as a college football program CEO. And you both bring up valid points, Dwayne and Steven, and I see some of them. He's a unicorn. You can feel good about this as Penn State fans. He's more along, I'll quote the late, great Herb Brooks from 1980, the USA hockey team. James is still, he's not looking for the absolute best ones. He's looking for the right ones. And that is what he is selling and what a big part of his brand is. And he thinks you can do both still. He thinks you can find the great ones and they be the right ones. And guess what? His program is ascending. When everybody else is kind of doing it, probably the closest is Marcus Freeman. Marcus Freeman and James Franklin are very similar. Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame and James Franklin are doing it similar. Their core values are very similar. So that is why they are kind of emerging in this as we've sort of spun out of the initial era. That's why they're both sort of climbing like this, because they're very similar in that way. And James is 100%, not necessarily the absolute best one. He's looking for the right one.
I think you're right, Andy. And I believe also a couple weeks ago, we saw some recruiting misses. And, you know, it's very easy for Penn State fans to see they're not getting those top 10 classes. I'm not saying that they don't want those very top guys, but I think the point Andy makes about getting the right guys, getting the right value there, guys with the right values, those are the guys you want in the program. All right, we've got like just a minute and a half left. I'm allowing each one of our guests to get the final word. Real quick from you first, Steve, your final word on the Penn State football program.
I'm very happy with it. I mean, I don't know if I respond to this. I think it's, you have to get to the national championship game. I really do. I mean,
you're not wrong, Steve. They are they are 100% a legitimate national title contender. Yeah,
they have to win one of the two. I like most people, I believe, as we talked earlier, they'll beat Oregon, smoke them, as I said. I almost figured Ohio State's a loss. I hope I'm wrong. I'm wrong a lot. But I hope they but I could care less about the Big Ten Championship. I really could. I could not care less. I mean, nobody remembers the Big Ten Championship. They remember the national championship.
Ask Oregon versus Ohio State. Dwayne, you get a final word of our show on our show.
Okay, just quickly, I'm excited to what McSorley's going to bring to the quarterback room. And just a quick shout out to my tailgating friends, Jeff, John, Joe, Denny, and their wives. So looking forward to a great season.
Oh, good. And as someone who has experienced a Dwayne tailgate, it's a great time. I'm looking forward to an invite this season. I'm waiting for it, Dwayne. All right, folks. Thank you, Dwayne. Thank you, Steve. As always, thank you, Andy. And thank all of you for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.